Celtic Harper, Patrick Ball, a composition by Turlough O'Carolan, Lady Dillon. O'Carolan was an Irish harper and composer, and Patrick Ball honors him in a solo musical theater performance titled O'Carolan's Farewell to Music. Ball is bringing the show to Champaign-Urbana for one performance this Sunday, March 24th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sponsored by the Spurlock Museum of the University of Illinois and the Illinois Arts Council, Patrick Ball will perform at the University Place Christian Church at the corner of Wright Street and Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Admission is $5, tickets available at the door only. Patrick Ball is a storyteller and harpist, actor, and playwright. He has recorded 9 instrumental and 3 spoken word albums. He joins us this afternoon to talk about storytelling, the Celtic harp, and Turlough O'Carolan. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon.
Who was Turlough O'Carolan?
Well, he was a rather extraordinary character. He was a blind traveling harp player in Ireland in the 17th and 18th centuries, and he was known kind of romantically as the last of the Irish bards, which is only only partially true. He was he wasn't strictly speaking a bard, but he was the most famous, the most celebrated harp player of his time or any time in Ireland. He's considered Ireland's greatest musician and certainly Ireland's greatest composer, and had a great deal of influence on all sorts of aspects of music in Ireland.
How did you become acquainted with him and his music?
Well, that's kind of an interesting story because O'Carolan died, as I said, in 1738, and he played a wire-strung Celtic harp, strung with brass wire, which is the harp that was played in Ireland for about 1,000 years. But then about 60 years after he died, the harp more or less fell completely out of use, and they switched to playing harp strung with gut strings, which sound very different and are played very different, and much of the repertoire of harp music was changed too. And so, although his music was never entirely ignored, for the most part, his music wasn't very very much played in a lot of the places that you would usually hear folk music in Ireland. They played mostly dance music and jigs and reels and such like things, and but about 30 years ago or so, the chieftains, when they first began to play together, unearthed a lot of his music and began to play it in sort of their ensemble situation. And their harp player, a fellow by the name of Derek Bell, began to play his music more too. And that's when I first encountered the music, about 20-25 years ago, and began to play it then.
I spoke recently with Liam Clancy of the Clancy Brothers, and he said that in Ireland today there are many, many pipers, and he would like to see more people take up singing. I've got a couple of questions for you in this direction. How popular is the harp in Ireland today?
Well, it's quite popular now, but a relatively short time ago it wasn't very popular at all. And one of the reasons simply was that harp playing has always been sort of its own separate strain of music in Ireland. They had the pipers and the singers and the fiddlers and such like thing, but harp players and the harp music was originally played for kings and chieftains and people of higher ranking during the time when Celtic society was relatively vibrant. And then the English came to Ireland, and they got rid of all the kings, and they got rid of all the chieftains, and everything changed a great deal, and the harp players no longer had their patronage. So they had to wander around and, you know, knock on people's doors who had any kind of money and play for them. And their music changed very much, too, because it was no longer just for a selected few people. And they had to play music which was more for the masses. And the masses, as most people would, tend to prefer music that's, danceable and singable. And the harp music was a little bit more, less approachable. And so, and one of the drawbacks also with harp music was a harp was always a very expensive instrument to make and to purchase. And so fiddlers and pipers and flute players, whistlers, and to some extent pipe players, the instruments were much more accessible. And so harp playing was not really in the mainstream of playing in Ireland. But more recently, it has, and due to a number of people, there are now a lot of things like harp orchestras and a great deal of harp competitions and harp societies. So now it's a very lively system of music right now.
Yeah. This type of harp music, is it often performed with singers? You mentioned the chieftains.
Well, not really, because, I think it harkens back to the time when there were poets and bards and such like things. Harp players strictly played music. Bards recited and sang things, and poets composed things. And so most of the time, a harp player was never expected to sing things. And Turlough O'Carolan in particular, although he wrote about 200 tunes, and he wrote lyrics for a great many of them, just the nature of his music, the range of the performance, the range of the notes was so high that it's probably pretty clear that most of the stuff was not sung. It was more chanted or intoned, and so it really wasn't part of a singing tradition. But as times changed, the harp players did sing a great deal, but not with O'Carolan's music for the most part. They were very rarely sung, so that was a different strain of music too.
Hmm. So then O'Carolan's Farewell to Music, this performance piece that you've put together that is both storytelling and harp music, that would seem a natural to go together then, wouldn't it?
Well, it is. It is, yeah, absolutely. But there's certainly no singing in it, and those people who have heard my attempts to sing will be pleased to know there is no singing in the piece. But, the piece was a really... I'd been playing O'Carolan's music for a pretty darn long time, and... But I have a master's degree in history, and I knew a great deal about the time that he lived in. And so finally, I wanted to write a piece in which we learn a fair amount about the circumstances under which he wrote his music. And his music is very uplifting and powerful and vibrant and sort of passionate music about the times that he lived in were very dark and dreary, and it was a desperately... oppressed time for the Irish people. And yet O'Carolan, who was blind and lived in this darkest time of Irish history, wrote these very glorious pieces of music. And so I wanted to kind of explore how a person came along and was able to summon up that kind of strength and willpower and spirit to write music under those circumstances. And that's more or less what the play is about.
Mm. What kind of research did you have to do to put the piece together?
Well, I studied history for a long time, mm-hmm. and so I had a background. But when you study O'Carolan, for better or worse, there's really only one really good book about him, because there's many strands of legends about his life. A great many of them are apocryphal, although they make good stories, and I use some of them. But to find out just about every single thing about him, one fellow by the name of O'Sullivan wrote a book simply called The Life and Times of an Irish Harper. And it contains all his music and all the notes on who he wrote the pieces for. And he accumulated just about every snippet of information about O'Carolan. So the combination of those specific items and the general knowledge that I had from years of studying history is how I put the play together.
Mm. Now, the play tells the story through the eyes of a man by the name of Charles McCabe. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Charles McCabe was genuinely a historical figure, and Charles McCabe and Turlough O'Carolan were pals, and they spent a lot of time traveling the roads together and drinking a great more than they should have. But the reason that I wanted to tell him through his eyes was number one, it's a very difficult business to portray a blind person for an hour and a half on the stage. But more than that, it was because I needed somebody to tell in a very positive and strong words what the times were like. And O'Carolan, once he had overcome the obstacle of his blindness, was a very much honored person, and he was accepted into the houses of wealthy people, Anglo-Irish, English, and Irish alike. And yet the times were so dismal. O'Carolan was a rather non-political guy, and I needed somebody else to tell the story of the times, and that's Charles McCabe's function. And the only thing we know about him, really, is that he wrote a very beautiful elegy for his friend when he died. And so, other than that, a great deal of the dialogue and everything is more or less fabricated, made up, but it's all based in fact.
Hmm. Would you describe the instrument for us, the Celtic harp?
Well, they come in some pretty wide variety, but a true Celtic harp, the hallmark of a Celtic harp is that it's strung with brass wire strings, or at least some kind of wire like bronze or brass. And mine, which is, a pretty good representative of the Celtic harp, is about 4.5 feet tall, and it's got 32 strings. And for people who aren't acquainted with harps, harps are essentially rather like pianos with no black keys. You start out essentially in the key of C, and it's all white keys, but it's tuned in what's called a diatonic scale, so there are no sharps and flats unless you tune them in. And so you've got 32 notes of 4.5 octaves of this very simple diatonic scale, and what you do is you just tune it to whatever key you want to, and I generally play in the key of D, which simply means that instead of having a C natural and an F natural, you tune the strings tighter, so you get a C sharp and an F sharp, and so it's a very simple, elementary instrument, but the sound of it is really one of the most extraordinary things, in my opinion, on Earth. Most people have never heard it, and a wire-strung harp is one of the most enchanting sounds I ever ran across, and it's simply the sound of the thing that coaxed me into doing what I do.
Mm. Well, Lady Dillon certainly is lovely. It was nice to hear that.
It's a pretty tune.
Patrick Ball, thank you very much for talking with us this afternoon.